Well, hey there, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us again today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And my guest today is Marcia Barth, and she is affiliated with Step Into Life Ministries, and she's written a book called The Shattering, Good Information, Useful Information. We'll be back with Marcia right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope.
I searched for seven rooms, inverted crosses of you, and they will find you in the shadow.
There's Rodney at yahoo.com, M-A-T-H-E-R-S-R-O-D-N-E-Y at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Marcia Barth. Marcia volunteers in a ministry called Step Into Life Ministries, which she helps ex-offenders with re-entry, and she's the author of a book called The Shattering, which is a story about overcoming adversity. Marcia, welcome to The Journey of Hope.
Thank you very much for having me.
How did you, first of all, let's talk about the ministry that you are involved with. How did you get involved with that, and what all do y'all do?
Our church is very active in the prison ministry, and we're very active in helping the broken. And from that, from our church family and center, actually, it stemmed out into one of the gentlemen there has just got a tremendous testimony of how his life changed. And he started this is actually his ministry, it's Step Into Life Ministry. That can be seen on, you can Google that on stepintoliferministries.org and read more about that. Basically, it is a ministry that helps not just the homeless, but a lot of the incarcerated when they come out. They're not given the means to change their life. And this organization helps them get on their feet, refers them to organizations that can help them get on their feet. They also have several homes. I believe they have six right now, two for the women and four for the men. And they actually let them live there. They pay a very small amount just to keep the homes running until they can get a job and get on their feet.
Excellent. And you go in and you help with that. Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's two separate ministries. Actually, okay. The prison ministry is separate from the Step Into Life ministry. Nathaniel Johnson is the head of the Step Into Life ministries, and that's more or less to help people when they come out, or the homeless, any that are broken, hurt, and just have fallen into the gap, and they help them get onto their feet. The prison ministry is actually a branch of our church at Faith Fellowship, and we actually go in. We can go with the men. Nathaniel usually goes in with the men, and Teresa Johnson, myself, and some of the other women go in to visit the women.
Okay. And you, Marcia, have a soft spot for people that are working toward overcoming adversity, and it comes through in what I've read about your book. I haven't read the book, The Shattering. But this is a story about overcoming adversity, and is this your story?
This is my true story.
Okay.
Actually, the picture on the front of the little girl is myself, mm-hmm. when I was 4 years old.
Okay. Can you tell us about the premise of the book and just get us started that way so that we know where you're coming from with this with your attack on adversity?
Yeah. Yes, and more than a soft spot. actually, I have a passion. I guess a lot of people have called that. My husband calls it that, too, and he's very supportive. But the reason why is that so many of people that are in prisons, not everyone, but a good percentage of the statistics show that so many that are in prison, we never justify them being there. That's not good for them. It's not good for their healing. But people have to understand that a lot have been broken. A lot have been abused. I look at my own life in the shattering, and if something hadn't happened in my life, if there had not been a drastic change in my life, the very thing that had kept me out of prison is the very same thing that has led most people to prison. So I look at it that, really, except for the grace of God, I would have been in prison, and maybe that's why I have such a passion, because so many people haven't had a chance. And I believe everyone deserves a second chance.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your story then.
Okay, my story is actually the story of my childhood. I was raised in a small town called Wallie Ford, West Virginia. Though the book, I've changed the names. In the book, I am called Julie. So if anyone reads the book, Marcia Barth is actually Julie. I've dedicated the book to my three brothers. They were my heroes. And read about my little Cocker Spaniel, but the theme of the book is this, to say it, to get right to the point, is basically I was sexually abused from the time I was 4 years old up till I was 14. My grandfather, my dad's father, first sexually abused me when I was four. My father sexually abused me from the time I was about 7 and a half to 14. More than a story of victimization, the book tells the joy of overcoming. And I think the main purpose of the book was to get people to understand three things. First, that people who aren't familiar with abuse, can understand why children do not speak out. Second goal was to get people that are abused, that they will deal with their abuse, because they shove it under the rug, and then they stumble through life, and it destroys their identity, and they feel their identity is shattered. The third purpose was to even get the abuser. There are a lot of incarcerated who've become the abuser, and to get them to understand the devastation that has been done to others through their acts. Because only then can people heal. So the book is a novel. It is written in novel form. The stories in it are true. I've gotten great input back. A lot of people say they laugh 1 minute and cry the next, but the theme of the story is there is a reality of God that loves you and that you do matter.
Okay. Marcia, tell us what the specific things were that were going on in your life that you had to overcome. Because of the abuse and not speaking out and properly dealing with it, what kinds of problems did that present to you?
Well, let me see if I can sum this up. I think the book will pretty much sum that up even better than I can. But let me explain it this way. When you are abused or you have been emotionally broken, you become a victim. And from that victim, some people survive. Some people overcome. Some become conquerors. Some become victors. And that's a pathway, and that's a pathway to healing. So you need to go from victim to victor. And when I teach retreats and conferences, that's the study I try to give them to. I find out where are you stuck. Because to personalize it, as a child, I internally took it all inside. I never told anybody what had happened to me, ever. My mom knew about the four-year-old incident because she discovered it, and I was too young to understand. And she fought the family on trying to get it corrected, but it was never corrected. They put it under the rug because that's what they did back then, and that's actually still what they do a lot today. But what I did was I wanted to die. I had thought of committing suicide at different times in my life. The hurt and the pain and the anger that it creates inside of you. It shatters you. And that's why the book is called The Shattering, because it shatters who you are. It shatters your identity. And you feel worse than Humpty Dumpty. You feel like all the pieces cannot be put back together again. It shatters your hope. It shatters your trust. It shatters your peace. It shatters love. It shatters joy. And in place of that becomes a great, great gulf of anger and unforgiveness and control and retaliation. And if you don't heal from it, I always say you have to deal to heal to feel. And if people don't deal with it, they will never heal. And if they never heal, they can't feel. And they get into relationships with their spouse and their loved ones and their children and their siblings and their friends. And all of this, when you shove it under the rug, you stumble through life and you trip over the carpet of life. And you wonder why you can't ever get your relationship straight. You wonder why you can't get your life straight. And you have to begin at the beginning. You have to deal with the hurt. You have to deal with the pain. You have to deal with the brokenness. Then you have to deal with the anger. And you have to deal with the forgiveness. And you have to deal, if you're going to become and decide and make a choice, if you're going to become an abuser, a retaliator, a revenger, or if you're going to become an overcomer, a conqueror, and a victor. And that choice depends if you stay in death or if you come into life. And you cannot do it yourself. That's why so many people fail. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of prison. I'm going to do it right this time. And they end up back in, and I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to do it right this time. But if they would ask the one, we were never meant to walk this path alone. We were meant to ask God. He made us that he would help us along this pathway. It was never God's choice. People see God as the cause, and they need to see him as the solution.
Okay. Let's get specific here. Many men and women come out of incarceration angry. And I'm glad that you zero in on that, because you were able to get over that anger. And the anger for people that have been incarcerated comes from many different sources for many different reasons. And what I'd like to know is, how did you attack that? How did you get past being so angry?
Well, I'm going to answer that, and people aren't going to like the answer, but no one likes the answer when the doctor says he's going to operate on you either, but that's the way you get fixed. So I'm going to operate that. I'm going to answer that. So,
okay, go for it.
Okay. The anger is a natural feeling that we feel. When you're 2 years old and your four-year-old brother socks you one, you get angry. We are made that way. So you need to recognize, first of all, that it's a response, and it's not a bad response. The problem is when we let an anger spirit overtake us. When anger becomes our cloak of comfort, and most people don't realize that. They go, what are you talking about? Anger is not my comfort. It enrages me. But we seek anger as a comfort. It becomes a solace to us. I don't know if people understand that, but if people that have been really angry, like people who've been abused, that they're going to understand what I'm saying. The anger that just wants to, you just want to break something. You just want to strike out. It destroys you from within and without. And that anger is a result from all the brokenness and all the pain that we hold inside. So you have to deal with that. You have to go back to step one. It's not just the anger you deal with. You go back and deal with the pain first. And then you deal with the brokenness. And you count the cost of what you've lost. And I tell people, what you do is you give that loss to God. You ask him, you tell him, you give it to him. You realize, first of all, what you've lost. If you live in denial, and a lot of people live in denial, and they still have the anger, but they live in the denial. And they say, no, it wasn't that bad. Well, that was a long time ago. And I did that for years. I said, no, that's okay. That was in the past. Yet I had so much anger inside of me. And one day, God said to my heart, he says, why don't you give me the anger? Now, this sounds very simple. He says, why don't you give me the anger? And I said, I will, God, but. And see, I don't know about you, but I always have a but. I will, God, but. But you know, God, this wasn't right, and this wasn't right. And he said, I know that. He says, but why don't you give it to me? I will, God, but. And that's when I realized that anger had become a comfort to me. The right to be angry, people use it for a comfort. And you have to give up that comfort if you want the comfort to feel in your heart. If you want to feel different, you got to give it up. How do you get over the anger? You got to give it away unless you want to hang on to it. And that's a choice. And you have to have a choice. The very first choice you make in healing is, first of all, do I really want to be whole? Because I've talked to people a lot, and a lot of people, they say they want to be whole, but they really don't, because they don't want to let go of the things that have destroyed them. Mm-hmm. They used them to survive. We use anger to survive. Mm-hmm. But it will not keep it. It'll destroy us. It's like grabbing onto a hot iron to get out of quicksand. We got to be good. The hot iron is going to burn you up. It's just as hard to drown in quicksand as it is to hang on to a stick that's on fire. It may have got you out of the quicksand.
Absolutely.
You got to let go
of it. Absolutely. Marsha, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. We're going to take a real quick break. Excellent discussion. More with Marsha Barth right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Falling sun, the night has come. Well, hey there. Be sure to join us next time when my special guest will be Chris Prague. Chris is an expert in discovering and helping you discover how you're wired. And if there's something that needs to be fixed, he's an expert at showing you how to do that. Chris Prague, next time on The Journey of Hope. We're talking with Marsha Barth today, and we've been discussing her book, The Shattering. Marsha is an excellent example of someone who has overcome a great deal of adversity, and we were just talking about anger, and she was explaining how she was able to get past that. Tough thing to do. Marsha, I also wanted to ask you just generally, how did you come to the point where you decided to write this book? I mean, what happened to make you think that you could write a book about this? Tell us about that.
Well, that's kind of interesting, too. For years, little by little, I began to deal with my problem. I had my life cleaned up. I had a good husband. I had two children. I was happy. I mean, everything was going great. And I began to talk to people in our women's conferences. I always had a burden, like I said, for the prisons. And I began to talk more and more. Found out so many people have come from where I've come from. Sexual abuse, domestic abuse, emotional abuse, these physical abuse, all these abuses just shatter our identity. I had a woman one time ask me, why is it so devastating? I mean, that sounds like a given, but I said to her, because it actually shatters your identity, and you don't know who you are. You think you know, and you try to find who you are. But what happens is you have to become whole. And I decided to write the book. I began to deal with my heart, to say it honestly. And I wrestled with him, and you'll read that in the book. I tell the story about I wrestled with God. And I said, God, why? I'm happy now. Why bring all that past up? And I live in a different area, and everyone likes me. No one knows my past. I'm like, why would I bring all that fear and shame and guilt and blame? Why would I bring that all back on me? And instantly, God said to my heart, he said, first of all, it was not your fear and shame and guilt and blame. The shame was not yours. It was placed on you by your father and your grandfather. He said, and the guilt is not yours. He said, so never, ever let anyone make you feel ashamed again. He said, and second of all, I died to set you free from all that. He said, I want you to write this because it will help others. And so I began to write, and I never quit. I just kept writing.
Did you find that that the actual process of writing was cathartic? I mean, was it therapeutic?
Oh, my goodness. I never dreamt, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I had dealt with it. I had forgiven my father. That was a process. That's a 20-minute
interview. Is your father still alive?
He died in 2010.
Did y'all get a chance to talk about this?
Oh, we talked. That'll be the second book.
I see.
We had many confrontations, my father and I. On a positive note, the week before he died, something happened to my dad's heart. Something changed in him, which to me is probably one of the biggest miracles I'll ever see in my life. It was phenomenal. But, yep, I felt I had to write the book. I've gotten great feedback on it. I'm encouraged because of the message. Anybody can write a book. There's a lot of books out there. My desire, my passion isn't so much for the book I've written, but to get the message out there.
Yes, and I found when I was incarcerated that, you know, I ran across several guys that, you know, they would kind of confide in me, and the stories that they told me about the abuse that they suffered as children would just curl your toes. And
yeah.
And then I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, no wonder, no wonder, you know, there's bad decisions being made in this man's life. But we're getting close on time here, Marcia, and I want you to have a chance to just tell the audience, if you could give a couple of pieces of advice, maybe the most important piece of advice for men and women that have just come home from prison, what would that be?
First of all, do two things. Deal with the issues that face them right where they're at, which is getting a job, getting on their feet, getting a place to live, and find the right resources to do that. Second, and probably more importantly, is deal with the issues that got them there. Deal with the issues that got you there. Actually sit down with a friend, a pastor, someone of confidence, a counselor, and ask yourself, how did I get here? And then from there, begin to deal with those issues of your life, the continual anger, the continual wanting to relieve yourself from the pain. What pain? What is in your life that continually pains you? What is in your life that continually makes you angry? What is the source of all that? Because until you deal, you cannot heal. Until you heal, you will not overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And you will just go around the cycle. And most and foremost, take the hand of a friend, of a counselor, and first and more and foremost, God. He did not make you to walk this alone. And see him as the solution, not the cause.
Okay, that's a great place to stop. Marcia, how do we get the book? Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon.com. It can be purchased through Tate Publishing. And it can be ordered, at Barnes & Noble's. You can go in any bookstore and ask them to order it. If you just give them Marcia Barth, there are quite a few books out there called The Shattering, and they have quite a few different themes. So if people just Google Marcia, M-A-R-S-H-A, Barth, B-A-R-T-H, my website comes up. They can go right onto my website. They can read my blogs. They can read the encouraging words. And they can purchase the book right through Tate. There's a click button that you can just purchase the book. Makes it really easy. A lot of people like to buy through Amazon, so it can be bought through Amazon.com or any bookstore that if they don't have in stock, they'll order it from it for you.
Great. Marcia Barth, the book is called The Shattering. Marcia, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you for this opportunity. I pray everyone will be blessed and that they'll receive some healing in their heart.
Thank you so much, Marcia.
Thank you.
We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. hello. It's Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Sure would love to hear from you. Well, thanks for joining us today. I want to thank my special guest, Marcia Barth, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time with Chris Prague right here on The Journey of Hope.